So, a Jesuit priest goes on a late-night TV show. It's Friday. We'd like to take a break from the news, so let's do it today with Father James Martin, who frequently visits the late-night Colbert Report.
Did it shock you to find out that Mother Teresa is probably in hell?
Well, I would doubt seriously she's in hell. I think
she doubted the existence of God. I say that's table for one, please. Is there anything by the lake of fire?
Remember those 2007 reports about Mother Teresa's crisis of faith? Well, we were surprised Father Martin didn't come back with another Mother Teresa joke about the time a sister asked her how to become a saint, expecting some answer about living the pious life. Instead, Mother Teresa said, "Die now! Pope John Paul is canonizing everyone." Then there's Pope John XXIII. Someone once asked him, "How many people work in the Vatican?" His response, "Oh, about half." Ba-dum-bum. And then there's the Catholic priest, who, you get the point. Father Martin is a steadfast believer in the important role of humor in faith, despite what the Episcopalians say. Sorry, that's a little Protestant humor there. Father Martin's new book is Between Heaven and Mirth, Why Joy, Humor, and Laughter Are at the Heart of the Spiritual Life, All Spiritual Life, but we'll be talking mostly about his. As he joins us from the studios of NPR in New York, Father Martin, the official chaplain of Colbert Nation. Welcome.
My pleasure to be with you.
So you make this case that Jesus had a sense of humor, that the Bible has far more of a sense of humor and joy than we realize, but that spiritual people you come across are excessively grim. Tell the story of your friend Mike, another Jesuit priest, and what happened to him.
At one point in the Jesuits, the religious order to which I belong, young members of the Jesuits were supposed to go in and publicly confess their faults. You know, I was lazy, I was this. And he went into his superior, and he had been giggling, I think, during Mass that day. And he said, "Father, I confess excessive levity." And the father looked at him and said, "All levity is excessive." You know, so many professionally religious people, you know, can be really grim.
But let's just say, don't they have a point? I mean, in the Old Testament, people are turning to pillars of salt. Mm-hmm. You point to a Jonathan Edwards tract from the 18th century that God can cast a wicked man into hell at any time. Jesus is killed. People are persecuted for their faith. This is serious business.
It is, but not all serious. I mean, the book of Ecclesiastes said there's a time to laugh and a time to mourn, you know, but we're not always mourning. There are certainly very serious things in the Old and the New Testaments, and much of religion is about serious topics, death, salvation, suffering, those kinds of things. But it's also about joy. I mean, Christians believe Christ is risen. That's a joyful thing. It is the good news, after all. And there are plenty of times where, you know, the Old and the New Testaments have a lot of humor in them. But we're just so conditioned not to look for them that we overlook them. And I think that really has profound implications on the way we live out our spiritual lives.
Well, especially when you explain that people back in the day received these things in a different way. Now, we're staying with the Judeo-Christian realm for now. As you said, you are a Catholic, a Jesuit priest. You give examples like a camel going through the eye of the needle. You say, that's funny.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the Jesus's parables and stories would have been seen as funny at the time. The idea that someone would have a plank in their eye, that's one of the examples Jesus uses, and criticize someone with a speck of dust in theirs would have been seen as, according to one scripture scholar, not only just clever, but funny. There's a story of Nathanael in the New Testament, who is told that Jesus comes from Nazareth, and Nathanael says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Which is like saying, you know, "Can anything good come from Boston?" But we've heard that line, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" so many times that you just sort of move right over it because you're not looking for the humor there. But that's a little dig at Jesus's hometown, and it's meant to be funny. So what I try to do is recover some of Jesus's humor and remind us that humor is an important part of the spiritual life.
What about the saints? Now, you've written about and studied the saints. I had no idea. I mean, St. Lawrence of Rome, 3rd century, he's being grilled over hot coals. And he calls out to his executioners, "This side is done. Turn me over and have a bite." Is that true?
Mm-hmm. In Latin, too, by the way. That is true. St. Thomas More in the 16th century, you know, people who watch the Tudors know this. As he climbed the steps on the way to the chopping block, he said to his executioner in Old English, more or less, "I pray you help me on the way up. As for coming down, I will take care of myself." So, but, you know, it's a kind of prophetic humor. It's a humor that says, you know, I do not fear things. I do not fear death. I believe in God. You know, John the 23rd was at a dinner party once, and there was a woman seated across from him wearing a low-cut dress. And his secretary said, "What a scandal." And John, who used to describe himself as a peasant, said, "What's the scandal?" And the priest said, "That woman's low-cut dress, everyone is looking at her." And John said, "No one is looking at her. Everyone is looking at me to see if I am looking at her." You know, so there's a guy. I'll give you another one. He was in a hospital in Rome called the Hospital of the Holy Spirit. And the sister in charge came running up and said, "Your Holiness, welcome. I am the superior of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "Really? Well, then you outrank me. I'm only the vicar of Christ."
Boom.
So
when did it change? Yeah, and why? You mentioned, you know, it's in part because we're not reading the words in the same way that they might have had meaning, you know, centuries ago. But what else happened?
It started at the very beginning. The early church needed to explain for the early Christians why Jesus died. Right? I mean, that was just a scandal to people that he died and was crucified. And so they spent a lot of time in the Gospels on the passion and the death. Almost half of John's Gospel is focused on that. But we forget that's a week or two of his life. You know, the rest of his life was doing joyful things. You know, I mean, eating with people and sharing table fellowship. And, you know, I mean, for Pete's sakes, you know, raising people from the dead and, you know, healing the sick and doing joyful things, going to a wedding party. That was his first miracle. So we are so focused on that that we've forgotten about the joyful parts of his life, unfortunately. And that influences how we see the saints and the lens through which we read the saints' lives, and it sort of downplays some of their own humor and lightheartedness. The saints were pretty funny.
Was there also a time in the wide church when it was decided to strip some of the humor out?
I think it happened gradually. There were powers that be, I think, that found that humor was inappropriate. You know, humor, kind of, if it's not bottled up, can be dangerous, right? If people laugh at their superiors or their religious superiors, you know, or the bishop or the king, it's very dangerous. And, you know, early in the church, when people were more intent on combating heresy, right, and sort of stamping out heresy, religion was not seen as a laughing matter. But I really do think it started at the beginning. And frankly, it continues today. You know, Sunday is not the most joyful day of the week, unfortunately.
And for some people.
For some people, true. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. But, you know, I was walking through New York the other day, and you hear these snippets of conversation, and I heard this one guy saying to another guy, "Oh, you know, I have to meet my girlfriend's mother. She's so religious." And, you know, it didn't sound like she was a joyful person. So we tend to equate religious with being gloomy or serious, which I think is unfortunate.
Father James Martin, his book is Between Heaven and Mirth. We asked you for jokes, so here goes. Maureen writes, "How many Christians does it take to screw in a light bulb? None. They stand around and wait for God to say, 'Let there be light.'" Lieutenant Cynthia Kilgore in South Bend, Indiana asks, "What does an agnostic, dyslexic, insomniac do? He lays awake at night and wonders if there is a dog." Also from Richard Danka, "A man buys a car and calls a priest, a minister, and a rabbi to bless it. The priest sprinkles holy water. The minister has everyone hold hands and sing. The rabbi cuts a half inch off the tailpipe." Padoom. Send your jokes to hereandnow.org. There's a special box up there on the right. Love to hear from you. More with Father Martin after a break. Here and Now. And Father Martin, you cite Umberto Eco's novel, The Name of the Rose. Mm-hmm. Some people saw the film starring Sean Connery. It's about a 14th century Franciscan friar investigating a series of murders in a monastery. And he comes across a librarian who's hoarding the only existing copy of the second volume of Aristotle's Poetics, which is about comedy. The librarian wants to destroy it because the book promotes laughter, and the friar asks him why. Let's listen.
"But you will not eliminate laughter by eliminating that book."
"No, to be sure. Laughter will remain the common man's recreation. But what will happen if, because of this book, learned men were to pronounce it permissible to laugh at everything? Can we laugh at God? The world would relapse into chaos."
Can we laugh at God? The world will lapse into chaos. But Father Martin, you do make the point, you know, mock yourself, and you certainly do that because it is humbling.
Yeah, it reminds you of your own poverty of spirit and your own humility. You know, we're all human beings, exactly.
But can you mock God?
No, but you can laugh with God. I mean, as in any relationship, humor needs to be a part of it. Can you laugh with God about the things that make you laugh about yourself? You know, someone the other day said to me, "Well, what about contemplation? What does that mean about contemplation? Aren't I supposed to be serious?" And I thought, well, when you go to the beach, you know, or look at a sunset, do you do it with a frown on your face? Can you be joyful in God with God in prayer? Can you laugh about things that make you laugh and share your joy with God like you would with any other friend or any other relationship?
One of the stories that you tell in the book reminds me of a story that you tell on yourself. A Franciscan friar walks into the barber shop. The barber says, I love Franciscans, St. Francis of Assisi, the whole animal thing. This haircut is free. The Franciscan friar protests. The barber insists, and the haircut goes ahead. The next day, the barber gets a beautiful basket from the Franciscan. Then a Trappist monk walks in. The barber says, I love Trappists. So contemplative. Free haircut, same drill. The next day, he gets a beautiful basket from the Trappist monk. Then a Jesuit priest walks in. Oh, I love the Jesuits. That whole Jesuit college thing, free haircut. The Jesuit says, no, I take a vow of poverty still. The barber insists. The next day, waiting on the barber's stoop, 10 more Jesuits.
True story. Yeah, I have a lot of Jesuit, Franciscan, Dominican jokes in there because I think, you know, I'm a Catholic priest. I can tell jokes about Catholics, priests, and Jesuits.
Well, also later in the book, you tell a story on yourself about how you were working in Africa and a woman comes up to you and tells you that she's naming her son after you, mm-hmm. her newborn baby. And so you help with the baby, you know, perhaps help her buy a few things. And then another woman comes and says, look, I've named my son after you. And some wise woman finally pulled you aside and said, what?
All of the children in Nairobi are going to be named James Martin.
It's like the free haircut.
Yeah, exactly. I never thought about that. And actually, there are three James Martins running around Nairobi right now named after me. So.
Well, and you did do terrific work there. Did Jesus laugh?
Yes. And how do we know that? Because he was a human being. If you don't think Jesus laughed, you're sort of denying his humanity.
Yeah. Anyone who told a disciple, yeah, you can walk on water and then lets him sink. Pretty funny. I just want to make sure we mention that it's not just about belly laughs, although that's a big part of it. It's about joy. And I want to point to, as you do, a scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You say it's the funniest movie ever made. This scene, though, shows one of the common misconceptions about the Psalms, how joyful they could be. It's where Arthur and his knights meet God for the first time. Let's listen.
Oh, don't grovel. One thing I can't stand, it's people groveling.
Sorry.
And don't apologize. Every time I try to talk to someone, it's sorry this and forgive me that and I'm not worthy. What are you doing now?
I'm averting my eyes, O Lord.
Well, don't. It's like those miserable psalms. They're so depressing. Now knock it off.
Yes, Lord.
Right.
I'm sorry. I love that scene so much. It's so funny. I mean, that's terrific. You know, I mean, those miserable psalms, right? God's angry because we're so morose about things.
Well, but you point out Psalm 65.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a whole category of psalms called praise psalms. And Psalm 65 talks about the hills girding themselves with joy, which, as you say, is really the theme of the book. And there are tons of psalms that talk about joy. The first word of Psalm 1 is happy. Happy are they who. So we also have a misunderstanding of the psalms and really of much of the Old Testament. And what I'm trying to do is point people to the idea that faith leads to joy, that the saints and spiritual masters used humor, and that laughter is a gift. It's a real gift from God that we overlook at our peril.
Well, Reverend James Martin, again, his book is Between Heaven and Mirth. I think it's time to tell some jokes. Ready?
It's always time to tell some jokes.
Here we go. A priest visits a woman after surgery. The priest says, I know how you feel. She says, really? Did you have a hysterectomy? Boom. True story. Little boy from a mixed marriage, Catholic and Jewish, goes to Mass. He says to his mom, can I leave now? She says, no, the Mass is only half finished. He says, well, I'm only half Catholic. Let's go.
A monk goes into a very strict monastery, and the abbot, the head of the monastery, says, now look, you can only have two words every 5 years. 5 years later, the guy comes back. The abbot says, how are you doing? And the monk says, bed hard. And the abbot says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You've been sleeping on this hard bed for 5 years. We'll fix that immediately. See you in 5 years. So 10 years, you know, after the guy's entered, he comes back. He says to the abbot, food cold. And the abbot says, oh my gosh, that's terrible. You've been dealing with this cold food for all these years. We'll fix that immediately. So 5 years later, the guy's been in 15 years. He comes back and the guy says, I'm leaving. And the abbot says, well, you know what? I'm not surprised. You've done nothing but complain since you got here. An old guy goes into a confessional and he says, Father, I'm 95 years old. And yesterday I went out on a date with a 25-year-old supermodel. And the priest said, well, that's not a sin. You should know that as a Catholic. Dating is not a sin. And the guy says, well, I'm not Catholic, Father. I'm Jewish. And the priest said, "So why are you telling me all this?" He said, "What are you kidding? I'm 95 years old. I'm telling everybody."
The Reverend James Martin, again, Between Heaven and Mirth, Why Joy, Humor, and Laughter Are at the Heart of the Spiritual Life. Father Martin, thanks so much.
My pleasure. It was a joy.